wonderful friend, welcome to Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A. This is the program where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion and the Bible, and where we look at the world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. I am Nick Rita, your host, and I'm very happy to be with you today. Thank you for tuning in. It's our privilege to welcome you to the program, and we ask you to stay with us for this hour because we have something special in store for you. And you know that you can be part of this program. I'm inviting you to send us a text message if you like to 04-888-808-11. You can say your thoughts in regard to what we are going to talk, because we really looked into a very special theme for the whole week: the Bible, spirituality, and physical health. I believe even if you are not a believer, I believe health is something which interests everyone. And but today we have some very specific question: physical health and spirituality. Is there a connection here, or is just we're talking about health, but I don't want to hear anything about the spiritual aspect? May stay tuned, because we have something, as I said, special in store. And you can always send a text message, maybe even with a prayer request if you like. You may have someone who's going through some difficult time, and if you like to send a prayer request, why not to do that? And the number again is 04-888-808-11. Have this number saved there, because we'll come just a bit later with the offer which we have for today. And again, that's a wonderful book which you'll enjoy. But I would like to say now hello to our co-hosts, I would say, because we have two ladies here in the studio with me today. And first of all, I would like to say hello to Lindy. Now, Lindy, you've been with us the whole week presenting something very special, which I would like to look back a little bit and do a little bit of recap. But it's good to have you with us today also.
Thank you. It's a privilege and a pleasure.
Now, you've been announced during this week. But if there is somebody who's tuning in for the first time today, maybe never heard about Lindy Spurring. Lindy, what are you doing around here in Adelaide as a job?
Well, I love Adelaide, so we moved here a few years ago. And I'm involved in women's ministry, resource center, prayer ministry, and I have a keen passion in health as well. So that's what we're doing here. We're very blessed to be here. And whatever God calls us to do, we want to follow Him.
Beautiful. And you work in the office, the headquarters of the Seventh-day Adventist Church here in South Australia.
Yes.
And you do a very good job there with all the things in the office, with all the resources there, because people may want to ask for something, what you have there in store. And we are very blessed to have you with us, Lindy, for the whole week, talking about spirituality and health.
Exactly.
I believe this is
strong,
a
connection.
Very strong connection. And people may not realize how strong it is, actually.
Absolutely.
But when you put things together, you understand, actually, maybe just will be an enlightened thing for us all, that we miss out many times on helping with our condition, health condition, by only, let's say, reading the Bible, meditate on the Word of God, sing a nice song, and all those things can really help with the condition we have.
Absolutely.
But I would like to say now hello to Dr. Sarah Jones. It's good to have you with us, Sarah.
It's good to be here.
Now, I heard you also, you've been with us one of the days during the week, and I listened to the program, and you had some very interesting thoughts during that program, and I'm looking forward today to you to share with us also a little bit more. Now, Sarah, you are a medical practitioner. You're a GP?
Yep, I'm a qualified GP, specialist interest in skin cancer medicine.
Oh, beautiful. All right. Well, lots of people can benefit of your skills.
She might check out your arms before she leaves.
Yeah, I was just thinking, how did you read my mind? But, you know, we're not going to now, you know, abuse our guests here. Yeah. But it would be nice, actually, to talk a bit more today about health, and not only from the biblical perspective, but also as a profession. Because we believe that God gave us wisdom to learn, to understand how this body, this amazing body which God created, functions. And by all means, my dear friend listening today, if you have a question during the program today, I'm inviting you to jump on and be part of this program. You may like to ask Sarah a question, or maybe Lindy. Try not to ask too many questions to Nick, because, you know, he's a little bit slow, but this lady, they are prepared to answer all the questions which you have today. The number is 0488-808-11. Well, you may even like to tell us where you're listening from, because we'll like to know that too. Here it's a beautiful weather in Adelaide, and we're enjoying now a bit of sunshine, because we had some grimy days, a bit of rain, not much rain, but drizzling, and mm-hmm. we were waiting for a bit more. But on this say, I like to just, you know, praise God for everything what we receive. I know that right now some people don't like the rain, particularly farmers, because they want to just get all the grains in the store. And another thing is, because it's season here in Australia of cherries, the cherry growers, they don't like rain right now, because that will spoil the cherries. I just been into an orchard the other day, and yes, it's starting already to compromise a little bit, but it's good to just stop in time. God is good. Well, right now, I'd like to just a little bit to go to look into an article, Lindy and Sarah. This was written in the Science of the Time, which is a magazine. It's a monthly magazine, which comes from our church, actually. And there is an article there talking about health for everyone. Sarah, is that okay if I will ask you to just read maybe the first section in that article?
Of course. So the first section is entitled Healthy Hack, Use the Stalks. So leafy greens are nutrient powerhouses with an array of vitamins, minerals, phytonutrients and fiber. The stems often contain just as many nutrients, if not more, as their more than their beloved leaves. Next time you go to bin your stems or your stalks, try adding them to your cooking. Chop them fine, add them to a soup or a stir fry, mix them in pesto, roast them with vegetables, or add them to a salad. With your new kitchen stem glam, you'll no longer have to leave to the leaves or get the most nutrition out of your greens. You'll have less waste too.
Well, look, that's a bit of even a recipe there, you know.
It's a great idea, but I have trouble getting my husband to do that. He doesn't like the stalks, but I'll often cut them up and put them in the soups or stews or whatever I'm making, because I know they're nutritious, and it also lessens the waste and the rubbish that has to go out, even if it goes into composting. So I think it's a wonderful hack. Fantastic.
Absolutely. Well, just a few days ago, I had an opportunity to go and spend a bit of time with a friend on the sea, on the boat, just chatting there. And I had with me a bottle with some juice. And when he looked at it, without even, you know, just to see it, how it looked like, he thought, oh, that looks very nasty, he said to me. I said, why are you saying that? I said, well, the color and things like that. It was a juice of celery and ginger and spinach mm-hmm. and a few greenies there, you know. But you know what? It was very good and
refreshing.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are sometimes things, you said, Lindy, now that sometimes we look a little bit like that when you ladies cook and say, well, what's that, you know? But actually, it's very important to not only to eat food or drink, whatever it is, just with the eyes. Mm. The look is good, but you know, you need to understand a little bit of the benefits of all those things. Well, I will ask now Lindy just to continue with that article, maybe the next section
another,
there.
There's another little article here about the risks of even a little alcohol. And mm-hmm. We did talk about temperance during the week. It says, for years, the American Cancer Society recommended simply limiting alcohol consumption.
Mm.
But recently they claimed that even low to moderate amounts increase the risk of 7 different types of cancer and decreases brain function and decision making. Now, when we were talking this week about temperance, we talked about the frontal lobe and how it can be affected by a trauma, an accident, and it can affect – that's where our decision making, our morals and values are. And so my understanding too is that alcohol has a propensity to kill your brain cells off.
Mm.
Now, so this is very concerning, isn't it? For years they've said, oh, you can have a little drink. You can have. They certainly now say not during pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
That's another serious issue. Also, there was another little article about we know the benefits of eating well, but many wait too late to make changes. And so for parents, I think it's important that we train our children and teach them a good quality diet growing up. I've got sisters with younger children, and even when they were babies, they went out of their way, even though they're not Adventists, my sisters, they went out of their way to ensure their children had healthy meals, as much as they could do healthy meals.
That's and I very think good.
If you start them out with healthy meals and teach them about that, it will help them to avoid things like dementia and other brain-related and other diseases later in life.
Yeah. Well, that's very important. And thank God for, a bit of an awakening in this regard, even in schools, and trying to help young ones to change their habits and not to grab those sweets and lollies and all those things, but have a little bit of a healthy lunch there in the lunch box and all the the things like that. But Sarah, I was just thinking when Lindy was reading about the alcohol, and people will argue with that, because even in the Bible, people go in the Bible and says, oh, but people drink in the Bible, and Paul said that to Timothy, oh, it's okay to drink a bit of wine. And you can take out of context a passage like that and encourage yourself to keep drinking. Now, I'm asking you now also from this perspective, because I was a smoker myself. Is there any benefit if you, for example, if you were drinking, but you stop drinking or reduce your drinks, is there a benefit in your body from a medical perspective?
Definitely, yes. So I can't tell you exactly with alcohol, but certainly with smoking, they found that people who stopped smoking, they saw improvement in their lung function within a month. Mm. Within 6 months, their lung capacity had recovered to about 80% of what was normal for people mm-hmm. who had never smoked.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, as you get older and the lung damage gets worse,
mm-hmm.
There's not as much of a reversible component, but any time you can stop or even cut down will have a significant improvement in your health.
Absolutely. I'm glad to hear that, because, I gave up smoking many years ago, but I can never touch again or even stay around somebody who's smoking. And I was struggling to give it up for quite a while. And this is one thing which I like to say, because we talk about spirituality here and, health. I could not give up smoking until I prayed. And when I prayed to God, from that day, I never touched a cigarette again.
Yeah.
And it was an amazing thing for me. And I'll encourage everyone who's going through some difficulties, some addictions. We talk about alcohol in that article, or I just share a little bit of my experience with smoking, but could be many other unhealthy habits which we practice. There is room always for improvement or for a new start, is it? Because I heard you, Lindy, you talking about this under this acronym New Start, and we are going to touch on that a little bit more as we go. Well, I think we'll leave it there unless you want to say something in regard to that article. Otherwise, we'll just move on now. I'll just have just a bit of a shout out to some of our sponsors, and we'll be back with you in just in a moment. Please stay with us. This is Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
And we are very thankful to the Adventist World Radio and for their support. They do an amazing job all around the world, and they are also supporting us to be on air. And that's wonderful. Now, Lindy, as I mentioned a bit earlier, you were with us for the whole week of this series, talking about the Bible, spirituality, and physical health. We look at some questions, I believe very good questions, like are health principles really part of the biblical religion? I mean, is any connection there with the Bible, with religion? And I think that was a very good discussion. And I'd like to say this, that if some of you, my dear friend, you missed some of the programs, which we'll mention now, some of those programs, you can always go back on faithfm.com.au and look for the podcast there. But even better, have our app downloaded on your device. If you don't have one, I'll encourage you to download Faith FM Australia, and you'll be able to look back on the programs which you may missed. Then we look at another question, Lindy. Is physical exercise in the Bible? Mm-hmm. And I like what you just said and what was talked about there, that the early people, you know, they didn't have all the luxury of having all these cars and hardly walk today, because you jump from one, vehicle. Means of transport to the other, you know.
One vehicle to another.
Yes. But back in those days, people had to work even in the garden, for example.
Right.
And I think the physical exercise is very important. And God had in plan that when he created human beings, he said, now you look after the garden, work it, and enjoy it. And I believe it was a good question. Then we ask a question, is self-control an oxymoron?
Well, no, it is not.
It's not. And you know what? Self-control, it's a big thing these days. Mm. And probably we experience so much unhealthy, you know, lifestyle because we don't exercise that self-control. Mm. And I think during that program was really good sharing, you know, and thank you again, Lindy, for sharing with us on that one too. Then just the other day, we were talking about, is sleeping a waste of time?
For some people, they think it is.
And I heard myself, people that said, I wish I could never sleep because I just want to do things. And particularly today, when you have so much, you are bombarded from all angles, you know, in media, in some other social things, you know, and you just want to keep going. And it's harder and harder to find the right time and quality time to rest, to sleep well. And I must confess here that even myself, I struggle sometimes to go to bed at the right time, you know, and to, I mean, I raise quite early, you know, but still struggle to go a bit early to bed. Now, if you have a problem like that, my dear friend, you're not alone. We all have this, but we are all into this boat of doing better.
That's
if we can. And again, that was a very good question. But today we are going to continue now with the question, physical health and spirituality. Is there a connection? Is a connection here in between spirituality and health? And Lindy, you may like to remind us again that, acronym. Would you like to take us through?
For sure. I've been sharing it every day because I think it's a good takeaway. It's just something you can think in your mind. So when we talk about nutrition, we're talking about plant-based foods. And we shared a lot of information that is scientifically proven that plant-based foods is a better way for us to go. And so anyone who's listening from any background or faith or even no faith, if you move your lifestyle towards plant-based foods, you'll be a much healthier, happier person. And I highly recommend getting Food as Medicine book by Sue Rad. Also, exercise. We need to move around, you know, move it and use it or lose it, I suppose. So we need to exercise, and we talked about exercising. So that acronym New Start, New, N for nutrition, E for exercise, water. We all need water. We're made up of water. We need to drink water. We need to wash in water. And we need to ensure that we're hydrated. Mm. A lot of people, I believe, can have significant issues and health issues because they're not hydrated enough.
Mm.
And you might think, well, I drink plenty of lemonade and cups of tea, but you need water. You need filtered water probably too, as much as possible.
Yeah, look as possible for the best water you can find around, yes?
Yes,
I'm going myself to a spring to get water.
Oh, okay, well, sometimes good to have a filter. Then we go to sunshine. And that's important to get sunshine, healthy amounts of it. Temperance. Now, temperance is an unusual word, but that's where we talked about self-control. And, you know, God can help us with all these things. I think that there are a lot of Christians out there who perhaps never considered the link between spirituality and their health. And there's so much evidence. And then we talked about breathing deeply and getting fresh air in your home and obviously out when you're exercising, resting, sleeping, getting enough sleep. Today we're going to be talking about trust, this side of spirituality that is something that will help us in all these areas. Sarah, I was going to ask you if you wouldn't mind reading from Corinthians 6:19-20.
Of course. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your body.
That was a beautiful passage.
And I think, you know, sometimes we need to be reminded that God created us, God sustains us, we invite him to live in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And then as we come to understand the principles that are in the Bible, we can be healthier, happier, and live for longer.
Now, as you just mentioned that acronym there, is there an importance in the order of what you mentioned there? Or you ask this question because if you...
Should be back to front, really, shouldn't it? Trust should be first.
Interesting, because I was thinking, the reason I asked this question, as you went through them, even though my first instinct was, oh, probably you should have trust first in God.
That's right.
But you know what, actually? You cannot trust in God. You cannot have a relationship with God if you don't have a healthy, lifestyle. For example, to start with good nutrition, to start with good exercise, water, and all those things, to benefit of all these good things which God created for us.
Sure.
And then to enhance, if you like, our strong relationship with God. Now, it may not be order necessarily there.
It's not always going to work. For some people, they have very strong relationships with the Lord, but they don't necessarily have good health. They've inherited something or they have a difficulty. So I think we just have to be careful how we look at it. But I think trust is the foundation.
Yes.
And it's the most important part.
And when you said that, because I came across people who you said they have health issues and they are strong believers. But you know what I find out? That they are not struggling themselves. They are happy, you know, if they have a strong relationship with God. They accept their condition because could be something, you know, could be genetic, could be whatever. It could be an accident, you know, or like that. But if you, for example, live an unhealthy lifestyle, and then you think that you have a strong relationship with God, it's a little bit of a paradox there. A contradiction. Because God wants us to live life to the fullest.
He will be
as healthy as possible, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, all those aspects.
Absolutely. And he will encourage us. I saw this saying on a church board, and I quite like it. It says, "No Jesus, N-O, no peace." And then it has "no," K-N-O-W, "no Jesus, no peace." So I noticed when I worked in aged care that those folk who were getting sick and passing away, it wasn't as easy a process for them as those who had faith. So, Dr. Sarah, I want to ask you a question. Your patients that have faith in God or have some faith, do you find that they fare better overall in whatever situation they're in?
That's a good question. I must admit, I haven't actually asked a lot of my patients if they have faith.
Well, there you go. And it's not always something that comes up in the discussion with a doctor. But I think from what I've understood and read that those people have some faith, and I'll share some information in a few minutes. Everything is much easier for them because they trust in the Lord with all their heart.
And what Sarah was just saying here, I noticed myself that even when I came across with a practitioner, it's more these days, it's a little bit more open to talk about faith. Before it was very, very taboo, you know, not necessarily talking about faith and other things because you just focus on, you know, on the things you need to do as a practitioner, you know, from a scientific point of view or from a study, and put it aside God. But these days, actually, people learn more. And I know, Lindy, you just said, and probably will look into this a bit more, mental health. It's a big thing today. And practitioners, they are understanding now that some other things can contribute to the reverse of this condition. And maybe Sarah can help us on that, not necessarily just administrating tablets, but have a different lifestyle.
Well, Dr. Sarah mentioned something about mental health the other day. Do you want to share a bit more? You mentioned that there's an increase in mental health issues that you've come across or noticed.
Yeah, there certainly has been an increase in mental health issues. And in people who are struggling in terms of depression and anxiety and also post-traumatic stress disorder. In terms of looking at people's health outlook, I would say that while I don't necessarily ask all of my patients about their faith, the people who I know at church who have a very strong faith often have a different attitude to their health to some of the people outside of the church because they know that this life isn't the end. That when you believe that this life is all there is, that people weigh up whether it's worth eating healthy, exercising, doing all those things to stay healthy versus the here and now.
Very interesting, and I'll ask this question now, Sarah. Just put it out there. Do you reckon can be some benefits if we'll think to pray with people when we look at their condition, you know? I've been in some places, in health retreats and other things, and prayer was a good thing to get the patient open up and get to a good level of trust in what you're going to do with them. Because right now, you see, there is that push. Even in the parliament, you know, they take it out. No prayer, no this, which in this country, a Protestant country, prayer was a big thing. Even to start a session in the parliament, for example, and so on and so forth. And I think maybe that's an idea which we can look into, that the medical...
Here's an experience too, from nearly 80% of Americans believe spiritual faith and prayer can help people recover from illness or injury. In a survey of 269 doctors in the American Academy of Family Physicians, 99% said religious beliefs can contribute to healing. When asked about personal experiences, 63% said God had intervened to improve their own medical conditions. So here's the medical profession themselves claiming that. Nick, I just want to look a little bit at what Australia has experienced over the last 12 months. So 1 in 5 Australians experienced a mental disorder. Now, the reason I want to talk about this in association with trust is because I believe that when a person understands who God is and who they are to God, it can certainly bring about a change in mental illness. 17% of Australians suffer an anxiety disorder. I would question, say that's probably a lot higher. 1 in 7 children and adolescents. So mental illness is a clinically diagnosed disorder that significantly interferes with a person's cognitive, emotional, or social abilities. And so, you know, it's very concerning that 43 million people in the last 12 months have suffered from some sort of mental illness here in Australia, some sort of disability in that way. And I believe the Bible has the answers to that. You know, a lot of children are suffering from anxiety, and that can, I believe, Dr. Sarah, correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I believe nutritional imbalance can contribute to anxiety in the body and then obviously in the thoughts and the mind as well.
Yes, because if you don't have the right nutrients in your diet, you can't create all the neurotransmitters you need. Mm-hmm. So people can end up with both deficits and oversupply of certain neurotransmitters. They can also end up feeling pretty awful. So if you were to go out and drink a couple of cans of Coke, apart from the caffeine, there'd be this huge sugar hit. Yes. And then 2 hours later, you get a crash.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes you feel pretty rotten.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, that's a very good point. You know, I could ask our listeners, do they want to live 7 years longer? Because the Reader's Digest has reported that in a nationwide study of 21,000 people, those who prayed and attended religious services. Now, we know that since COVID, some people have stopped going to church.
Mm-hmm.
May I encourage you to go to church? To go to church.
To get 7 years more.
To get 7 years
wow.
more, and probably not just the quantity but the quality.
Yes.
So more than once a week, they had 7 year longer life expectancy, and I think that's fantastic. In fact, in the National Geographic in 2005, and I mentioned this during the week, Seventh-day Adventists in Loma Linda, California have been scientifically documented as the longest living group in the United States.
Mm.
Now, why could that be? Nick, you and I are just, yes, and Sarah, we are members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but it's because, generally speaking, Seventh-day Adventists, for two main reasons, they eat a plant-based vegetarian mm-hmm. diet, and also they have a regular practice of rest on the Sabbath, mm-hmm. on Saturday, we talked about it last night, worship and fellowship on the seventh day. And those two factors seem to contribute to having a longer life and more quality of life. Now, I know Adventists who've suffered all sorts of sicknesses, died sure. before their time. I'm not saying this is a foolproof 100%. And I also know, because I'm my own self sometimes struggle, sometimes I don't want to do what's right.
Mm.
I want to rebel and have some chocolate or too many things that I shouldn't have. But I found the more I walk with the Lord, the more I read His Word, the more I put my life into His hands, He takes away those desires. And He wants us to be healthy and well. And I think, Nick, I don't think I'm boasting when I say that Seventh-day Adventists are one of the few churches that run hospitals and mm-hmm. aged care centres. We have the second biggest education system in the world. I'm not boasting. What I'm saying is we value, because God values, our health and well-being. And we have this health message. And, you know, all of us, Dr. Sarah, you and I, Nick, we have sometimes not even listened to our own health message.
Yeah. And while you said that about the study in the United States around Loma Linda, and was done at the same time in some other parts of the world, it was called like the Blue Zone, also like in Japan, in somewhere in the with a Mediterranean diet and so on and so forth. But the reason it caught the attention of the National Geographic in particular about this group of people, because they were very good study group. As you just said, Lindy, they didn't smoke, drink alcohol, vegetarian diet, a few things. And then they start to find some other benefits in their holistic lifestyle, you know, the and I saw myself a surgeon even practicing in Loma Linda, 90 years old.
Yes, I've heard of him, yeah. So, you know, look, the Bible has the answers to our issues. The Bible has the truths about being healthy. I just want to share a little testimony from Dr. George Malcolmus, who was diagnosed with colon cancer at the age of 42, and his mother had died from this disease. And he now believes he suffered more from the treatments than the cancer itself. And he decided he didn't want to keep following the traditional treatment. So he found an alternative. Now, this is a doctor. And it's really a little bit about New Start.
Mm.
He followed those principles. He found that his cancer went away and into remission. His blood pressure dropped. His pulse rate dropped to about the upper 40s, which it's good for a very fit person. His allergies departed. His sinuses cleared up. His eyesight improved. His body odor and dandruff problems left him. Hemorrhoids went away. And since he adopted this different lifestyle, this healthy lifestyle, and this is a doctor, he hasn't had a cold, upset stomach, flu, headache, indigestion, constipation, or any other physical problem. And to God be the glory, he says. His natural laws, God's natural laws and way of living actually work.
Amen.
And so this is him going from when he was 42 and out of breath, climbing a flight of stairs, to now he can literally run up mountains.
Oh, beautiful.
Does New Start work? Does the Bible have the answers to our health problems? Absolutely. And I love this scripture. This is my favorite scripture, Dr. Sarah, and I'd like you to share another one in a moment. But this is my favorite one in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not just a little bit of your heart, Nick. Not just a tiny bit of your heart, Dr. Sarah. With all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Nick and Dr. Sarah, I was unhealthy many years ago. I was suicidal many years ago. I suffered with clinical depression. I had all sorts of other health issues and women's issues. But God has shown me the truths of health, and he has brought healing to me. So, Dr. Sarah, I also would like you to read Proverbs 12:25.
Can I just say, just before I read that text, for people who are sort of listening to this story and thinking, oh, yep, I'm going to stop all my medication and all my treatment. Please don't just stop everything. If you want to make changes, please start making the changes first, and follow up with your doctor and actually have them monitoring your condition, because you don't want to stop everything and run into trouble because you got unwell before these other changes start making a difference.
Yes, a very good point. Very good point. And just on that one, Sarah, if I could add, because I did a program some while ago, anti-stress, and you know, that brings depression and all those things. And I read this heading: to be able to get to the floating level, you need to administrate the medication to bring you to the level that you can control then the changes which you want to do. And then with all the other alternatives, you'll improve your, you know, help your body actually to fight those things. Very good point, and thank you for bringing that. But yeah, please read that passage in Proverbs now.
Thanks, Dr. Sarah. We have mentioned that during the week. I've always, we have to be very, very careful, but we need to start making some steps forward. There are some things that you can do even while you're on your medications that just starts, and then meet with your doctor and discuss the way forward. Thank you.
All right, Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in the hand of heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad.
So anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. And often the reason people become depressed, my understanding, is because they have desires and hopes that aren't fulfilled, and they start to, you know, we can all get sad at times, but it just continues down that path, and we forget about praising the Lord. Sorry, Nick, you want to share something?
No, I was just going to say now that it will be good time to take a short break and have a song. I notice for myself, I don't know for others, but music also, it's a very good medicine.
Absolutely.
And let's listen to a piece of music here by Hannah Kerr. And the song is Be Still and Know, a beautiful song. And my dear friend, this is Faith FM, Drive Time BQ&A. Don't go anywhere, because we'll be back with some more information in a moment.
When your heart is anything but quiet, and peace feels a million miles away, when the world is heavy on your shoulders and you don't know the path that you should take when you cry out to the Lord and your broken voice is weak when you can't stand anymore. He'll meet you on your knees. Be still and know you don't have to worry. Be still and know He'll find you where you are. He is good. His love will never let you go. Trust Him.
This is Faith FM Drive Time BQ&A with Nick Rita, and in the studio with us today we have Lindy Spedding and Sarah Jones, Dr. Sarah Jones, with us here today. And we were just talking about just before the break how big it is, the mental health, because today we are talking about spirituality and health. And Lindy was just sharing with us under the acronym of New Start that trusting God, it's a big one. It's a foundation, actually, of all other things. And my dear friend, just before we are continuing with this in the next few minutes, I really like you to benefit of a book which we organize for you. And that's called Health and Wellness, Secrets That Will Change Your Life. Do you really want to have some changes in your life? Please ask for this book by Mark Finley and Peter Landless. And how much would you pay to learn the secrets of lifelong health and wellness? And Lindy mentioned about that group of people who just some studies show that some groups of people live 7 years longer. And I even heard about that men can live 10 years longer than others if they have a good lifestyle, and women's about 7 years. But I would like you to benefit of this book. And if you send us a text message with a code SA243, SA stands for South Australia, 243, that's our code. Send it to 0488 808 double one. Don't add any other things with that code. Just send a text message with SA243, and our good friend Bot will take you through. But coming back to you now, Lindy and Sura, I would like probably you to spend a bit of time and talk a bit more about this connection in between spirituality and health. And maybe, Lindy, as you said before the break, about mental health. I think mental health skyrocketed in the last couple of years.
Absolutely. And anyone who's listening who suffers with that, all of the things that we've talked about this week can make a difference. Mm. They made a big difference in my life, and they can make a big difference in your life. You know, I just wanted to share just a few things about, you know, people who attend church. They have lower death rates than non-churchgoers, which is wonderful. They have fewer symptoms and better health outcomes in 7 out of 8 cancer studies, 4 out of 5 blood pressure studies, 4 out of 6 heart disease studies, and 4 out of 5 general health studies. So people who have faith in God and attend church, and I'm going to ask Dr. Sarah in a moment to comment on this, they're less prone to depression, suicide, alcoholism, and other addictions. It doesn't mean, you know, we do have sometimes people in the church. I was in the church and I suffered with depression. And so it doesn't mean it doesn't happen, but we're less prone. Also, a 53% quicker recovery from depression for those people who belong to a church community and attend church regularly. 3 times more likely to survive open heart surgery. Now, I haven't had that sort of surgery, but my father has. And hospital stays are 2 times shorter than older patients without a religious affiliation. And people who go to church regularly have a stronger immune system. So here's some very good reasons why we should belong to a church community and have our trust and faith in God. So, Dr. Sarah, what do you think about that as far as people with mental illness and depression and other issues?
Well, one of the common things that you'll hear when you talk to someone who is struggling with mental illness is that they feel very alone, they feel very isolated. And a lot of what's driving that is that they're ashamed of what's going on in their life. Mm. And often what they're ashamed of is not necessarily something that they should be ashamed of. Along their way in life, they've picked up these inappropriate messages from other people. Mm. They've developed inappropriate expectations of themselves. And the more isolated you are, the less support you have and the less ability you have to actually talk to other people and say, does this sound reasonable or is this crazy to you? Mm. Well, in a church, you have a large community of people who are able to support each other.
Absolutely.
And so you have that ability to ask someone, oh, this happened to me, does this seem reasonable? But when you're struggling all by yourself, you don't have that same level of support. And we know that when you get stressed, your cortisol levels go up and they can stay up chronically if you're very stressed. And if you've got high cortisol levels to start with, when you do get sick, your body doesn't have the same reserves to fight off the infection or the illness. Mm-hmm. So you're much more prone to getting sicker. Your immune system is weakened. So when you do develop cancer, you've got less resources to fight it.
So there's the scientific evidence behind having trust and attending church. There was a study in America that said people who've never married have the highest risk of premature death in the United States. In addition, people who are divorced or separated are 27% more likely to die early. Moreover, married men are half as likely to commit suicide as single men and 1/3 as likely as divorced men. So as you can see, social isolation plays a role in mortality. And that really backs up what you said, Dr. Sarah, about having a community to belong to. And it's not just the community. It's that you're worshipping your God, that you're listening to the beautiful music, Nick, which lifts you up. You're learning values and morals and principles that are life-enhancing. You have friendships and connections. Now, some people will say, oh, yeah, I go to church and no one speaks to me. Forget about that. Go and talk to someone yourself. Don't wait sometimes. Go and, if you're able to, reach out to somebody in a small way.
Yeah, we live in a very individualistic society these days. And a church is a good way of getting with a group of people, you know, not to have judgmental attitude. And I hope that the church will behave like that, because the church could be like a group support. And the group support is very important today for people like mental health and other sicknesses. Very, very important. Now, we have very few minutes left here, and I would like you to bring it a little bit together just to finish the program. But I don't want our listeners to miss the good book we have, because this is the last chance you have today. And by the way, thank you, Darren, for asking for the book. The book, it's called Health and Wellness, Secrets That Will Change Your Life. It's a wonderful book. I don't have time to give more information about this one, but don't hesitate right now. Just send us a text message with the code SA243 to 04-888-808-11.
You know, in Proverbs 9:10-11, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased." There's a beautiful promise for us. But it's not just for now. I don't want people to think, well, I do want them to think they want to be healthy now. But it's also for eternity, when we have that trust and faith in God. If someone's listening and they haven't given their heart to the Lord Jesus, maybe now's the time. Because you can see that this Lord and Savior wants us to be well, to be balanced, to be healthy, to have purpose-filled lives, to have health and understanding and wisdom, and to bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. I don't know about you, Nick and Sarah, but when I'm doing something for someone else, I feel fantastic.
Praise God.
It really lifts me. And so this is the God who loves each and every one of us. He wants us to be well and healthy. And remember that New Start acronym: nutrition, exercise, water, sunshine, temperance, air, rest, and most of all, the most important, trust.
Trust in God with
all your heart.
Praise God. Oh, thank you so much, Lindy, for the whole week, you know, looking into this beautiful program, New Start, and sharing around. But I'm coming to Sarah just for a moment. Sarah, what would you like to say to a listener there, from a practitioner point of view, and also believing in God too? What would you like to say, to put together maybe a sentence or two and encourage our listener?
So the important thing is to try. You will fail sometimes. Everybody does. But don't be discouraged, because God will walk beside you. And every time you fail, it helps you to learn a new way of doing things.
Oh, beautiful. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Lindy, is that okay if I ask you to have a short prayer?
I'd love to have a prayer. I'd love to have a prayer. Father God, we don't know who's listening today, but you do. You know the journey that they've been on. You know the challenges that they have. You know what is going on in their hearts and their minds. You know them intimately, Father. You created them. And you just long to bless each and every person. But Father, I pray for all of us that we will take that first step forward. Just give it a try. Just look at the situations that we live in and go, I'm going to try this today, and I'm going to build on that tomorrow. And there are others around who are willing to help. There is so much wonderful information around, but the Word of God holds it so true, we're filled with wisdom on how we can live and have healthier and better lives.
Amen.
So we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that each one of us will receive a great blessing from you, that we will turn our hearts to you, and we will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit, And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Lindy, for sharing that beautiful prayer. And my dear friend, I hope that taking in consideration this advice that you will live healthy, you will be really living. May God really bless you and continue to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. I'm leaving you with a song now and looking forward to hear from you again next time. God bless. And thank you, Lindy and Sarah, for being with us for
thank
the whole
you.
Week.
We've enjoyed it.
Thanks for having us.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
There's so much that you've learned over the years, yet so much you regret that there were tears to fill your eyes. And so many mistakes, you just hope that they forgave you. You pray you'll turn out alright. And lately you've been thinking of your past, the prayers you received, and the friends who didn't last, the promises you broke, and the ones you hurt the most. But boy, time flies by fast. You're younger than you look, and you feel so immature. Your parents disappointed, every day seems a little worse. Take heart, I need ya, stay alive today. Don't ask about tomorrow, 'cause my answer's still the same. I'll guard your pieces and put them back in place. Take heart for me and stay alive today. Take heart for me and stay alive today. There's no need for your pain. Let your waterfall go like thunder in the rain, in the rain. Jesus, he was slain, and the blood of perfection has washed away your stain. You're older than you look, and you feel so immature. Your parents disappointed, every day seems a little worse. Take heart, I need ya to stay alive today. Don't ask about tomorrow, 'cause my answer's still the same. I'll guard your pieces and put them back in place. Take heart for me and stay alive today. Take heart for me and stay alive. Take heart, I need you to stay alive today. Don't ask about tomorrow, 'cause my answer's still the same. I'll guard your pieces and put them back in place. Take heart for me and stay alive today. Take heart for me and stay alive today. Take heart for me and stay alive.